This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
By the way, I owe Kerry Corbin an apology. Last week, remember I ragged on Kerry Corbin for having the wrong verse up there during the offering time, during our stewardship time. So I get back to my office and I look at my phone. Kerry said, "I put up what you gave me." And I looked down, I had sent him the wrong scripture. So, Kerry, my apologies. This pains me to say that, but my apologies. Oh, good. Psalms, the first chapter, has been our text as we started looking at this at the beginning of the year. Hard to believe that we're in February. Hard to believe this was a February day. But blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. We could say God's word. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's a powerful three verses, isn't it? It's got a lot of good stuff in it. And so we've been talking about those elements. We've been talking about not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, but we begin to get over into an area. Let me recap real quickly. We were talking about God's ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts. And so oftentimes the people say, well, that's our loss. God's ways and thoughts are higher, mine are not. But God has given us his word and his spirit to reveal his ways and his thoughts. And so we can begin to adapt our ways and thoughts to his. We talked the fact that we have a major part to play in adapting God's ways into our lives. One of the big values of church is that we have an opportunity to come and learn. It's not your only opportunity, but it's an opportunity. And we can learn, and we have so many good classes here. We have great teachers. We have a lot of opportunity. We believe here that God's word makes a difference in your life. And we have classes that you can go to where you can hear biblical principles on everything from how to fix your finances to how to fix your marriage. We have opportunities for people to get together because we believe that really there's nothing. Truth will make you free. And so as we bring truth, it helps. So we're constantly in the process of learning, of growing. Our minds get renewed. And so, and don't ever be discouraged if you feel like you come in, you're like, I don't know anything. We try to remember where people are. And try to remember that people come from all different backgrounds and all different walks of life. Some of you came out of very stiff legalistic churches. Some of you came out of wild and hairy churches. Some of you never went to church a day in your life. And this is the first time you've ever come. And we're so glad you're here. But as we do that, we learn. And so we're constantly in a state of learning. Joy and I, constantly in a state of learning. And one of the beautiful things I love about having a relationship with Christ is I can be farther along a year from now than I am right now. That we can continue to grow. I stopped growing when I was in high school. My dad's 6'4", I'm 5'10". I wanted to play basketball. I kept thinking I was going to be 6'4 one day. At 30, I gave up on that ever happening. I just thought it's never going to happen. But you can continue to grow spiritually on the inside. And that can make such a difference in your life. So there's some principles here that we're going to see. Now, we talked last week about the sower sows the word, and Jesus was giving us one of his most meaningful parables, because he said that this one is key. How you hear, how you receive, your approach to God's word is going to make a difference between how much you receive in your life. Sometimes people have been surprised. They say, well, I can't believe that happened to that couple. I knew them. They were in church all the time. You realize that being in church all the time has the potential to help you, but you can be in church all the time and never listen. And so it's not a matter of, hey, I go to church, that's going to make me a great Christian. Going to church gives you the potential, gives you tools, gives you encouragement, gives you the ability. But the application of it, all of us have to walk that out on our own. So Jesus was talking and he said, well, you should really say about four different kinds of condition of heart. One's lackadaisical. They hear the word, they're like, well, whatever. I heard that. Yeah. You just don't care. And Jesus said the enemy can just steal it from you. You'll never act on it, never do anything about it. The next condition was what they call shallow soil. In other words, it's a heart that hears and it's like, oh, that's good. But then as soon as the pressure comes, they give up. The third condition was, I think, probably our generation's most common denominator. It's the distracted heart. Everything's going on. And so the condition of your heart, the condition of your life is going to make a difference. And as we're talking about that, I remember these instructions that God gave to kings. We're going to find that this is not simply a New Testament principle. This is a God principle. How we pay attention to His Word and how we begin to bring that into our lives. It makes all the difference. So let me read something out of Deuteronomy. This is Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter. This was God's instruction to kings. He said, He was telling Israel, when you go into the promised land, which I'm going to give you, He said, and you decide you want a king. The perfect way was for them not to have a king. The perfect way was for God to be their king, and they weren't going to need a king. He said, but if you set up a king, He said, you got to make sure he's one of you. He's got to be one of your, don't go get a foreigner to be a king. He said, you have to have a king. And then He gave instructions to the king. Let's look at those. He shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. Now, these were instructions to kings. So really, if you stop thinking about, what is he talking to these kings about? He's talking to them about focus. He said, horses of that day, and I realize some of you are probably horse people, horses of that day were probably like sports cars of our day. And if you're a king, man, you had good horses, and if you had horses, and you know, horses still aren't cheap. If you have them, you know, if you've ever had one, they eat a lot, and they need a lot of stuff. But horses, he said, don't multiply horses to yourself. Why? He said, don't get caught up in your possession. He's talking to kings. Don't get just caught up in your stuff. And he said, plus, he said, I don't want you going back to Egypt. The people had left Egypt. I don't want you going back there. Then he says, don't multiply wives to yourself. Now, this was obviously in the day. People are thinking, man, that's not my goal. I just want one. Hey, hang on. The idea of multiplying wives, this is when the kings could have a lot of wives. Remember Solomon? Solomon violated this horribly. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines, which is like friends with benefits. That's 1,000 women. When I see him in heaven, I got to look and go, bro, seriously. 1,000 women, and you the man, or you crazy? I don't know which one, but that's... But you realize that Solomon, who's considered one of the wisest men of the day, Solomon, he said, you don't multiply wives because it'll turn your heart. When Solomon got older, he had all these women, and he married them from all over the surrounding countries. Now, I guess you could form alliances with that, and you can form covenants with that, and it could keep some pressure off of you. He said, but many of these foreign ladies that he married were people that didn't have a relationship with God. And so they would come in, and they would want to bring their own gods. And like, Solomon, my God was Ashtoreth, and we need to bring an Ashtoreth in here because I miss my God Ashtoreth. You know what Solomon started doing? He started setting up idols in Jerusalem to keep these 700 women happy. I don't know if they all lived in the same house, but that sounds like Big Brother gone crazy. That's a crazy situation. And nobody's happy, but the Bible said they turned his heart. And then he said, he shall not greatly multiply. And it's interesting, he didn't say multiply. You can still have silver and gold. He says, just don't greatly do it. What is God telling kings? He said, you're going to have to keep some focus here. You can't get so caught up in your possessions. You can't get so caught up in making money. And then you got to make sure you have the right relationships. Now, didn't Jesus say that? We talked about that last week. He said the distracted heart are those who they've got caught up in all the things they could have and the deceitfulness of riches. And it chokes the word. What happens? What's he talking about? He's talking about focus. Now, I don't have to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you know that you can lose focus easy in life. And boy, you can get a focus on, you can see people, man, their whole focus is making money. Maybe they loved the Lord once. They had a great relationship with the Lord. But then they became so focused on making money that it's kind of begin to wane and to wane and to wane. And man, you can lose focus. How many of you know that relationships can turn your heart? This is why we encourage people, the Bible encourages people, so don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And it warns people, if you're a believer, if you love the Lord, don't marry an unbeliever. Now, I realize, and some of you, I know people who've married unbelievers, won them to the Lord, and they've come in. But I also know people who have married people who had no interest in God whatsoever, and it turned them away. People can turn your heart. And here's my 2 cents worth for single people. I'll ask them sometimes. They'll come down and go, Alan, I'm getting married. I'm like, wonderful. I said, are they here? Oh, they're not here. Are they a Christian? And they hesitate. That is so not good. If you got to think about it, if you love the Lord, you ought to be able to figure that out in the first date. How about first 10 minutes? Listen, dating is catch and release, guys. Catch them, look at them, throw them back. You catch one, you go, that's a fine fish. You a believer? No. Poop. I love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Catch and release. Catch and release. You don't remember anything else tonight? When you walk out of here, single people, catch and release. You who are married, you're caught, stay. And that's a great Bible lesson. Let's go home. No, I'm kidding. All right. He's talking to kings. Now, look what he says next to kings. Still writing to kings. He said, well, I'm not a king. Okay, you're not a king, but you have authority in some area. And if it works for kings, it'll work for you. So here's the next principle. Again, we're looking at principles. Having God's word is a big part of his life. Listen, look what they said to kings. This is verse 18 to 20. Also, it shall be when he, the king, sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Isn't that interesting that God told kings, he said, I want you to get a copy, I want you to write. Now, it looks, he said, I want you to write a copy of this book. Do you realize that one of the best ways to learn is still to write it out? If you're trying to remember something, you have a presentation, you have something that you have to remember, if you want a tip in reading, if you would write it out and read it out loud, it will help you remember. And this is what God is telling these kings. He said, hey, kings, he said, I need you to get a copy. Thank God we don't have to write it out. We've got a copy of the book. It's right here. He said, I want you to read it every day. Every day. This is why I love daily plans. Reading it every day. Why? Because it teaches us to have a respect for God, and it keeps our heart from being lifted up. He said, if you'll do this, the problem with kings is kings can get to be high and mighty. He said, I don't want you to be high and mighty. You're still under authority to God. So kings, I want you to have a fear of God, and I don't want your heart to be lifted up, and I don't want you to turn aside from any of these ways. Why? If you turn aside, you're not going to be blessed. If you stay on the path, you will be. If you want to, you want God's blessings, we have to do things God's way. It still applies to kings. So in this, once again, you're seeing the principle where we have to go to God's word. Now, let me throw a scripture up, and I want to talk to you just a little bit tonight, because I said I would last week, about when you hit dark times. Let's look at a scripture in Proverbs 4. Carrie, if you put that one up. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Last week I'd mentioned a friend of our church is Dr. Mark Rutland. And Dr. Rutland talked about a time in his life when he was overworked and overburdened, a lot of pressure. And he said he just went down into a dark hole of depression. And if you've ever been in depression and you recognize it, it is a dark hole. And he was talking about he was in a dark hole, and one night it just all caved in on him. And he said it's like he heard the voice of the enemy saying to him, "You don't have a prayer." That's you, when the enemy talks, and by the way, I don't mean hearing voices, but when you get impressions and these thoughts come to you, you're never going to make it. God doesn't love you. You're a horrible Christian. Why don't you get... Please understand that's not coming from the Spirit of God. Please understand that's not the Holy Spirit correcting you. Because when the Holy Spirit corrects and helps us, it always has a lift to it. He's not negative. He believes in you. So when you get those negative, you don't have a prayer. That's what the enemy, Satan, is called, the accuser of the brethren. And he will accuse you, he will condemn you, and he will lie to you. He's the father of lies. You don't have a prayer, he said, and another voice spoke up from the inside. He said he knew it was the Holy Spirit that said, "Yes, you do, if you'd only learn to use it." And so he talked about praying the Lord's Prayer. We did that for most of the month of January. I think we ended it on Super Bowl Sunday, right? By the way, you don't have to end it. You can keep it all year long. But the idea was, and he began to talk about that over and over again, in a very dark time, he would just begin to repeat this prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And he would say that. He said sometimes he would just seem like he said it over and over and over again during the day. Now, what he talked about was the fact that he began to come out of that black hole. And what I want to just talk to you a little bit about this morning, this evening, is taking God's word and using it as a tool to help your mind, especially when you're dealing with negative thoughts and assaulting thoughts. The Bible says in Proverbs, he said, "My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." Now, it's not talking about walking around with a Bible in front of your eyes like this all day. It's not what I mean. He said, but we don't lose sight of God's word. That you keep it in the midst of your heart, for it's life to those that find it. It's health to all their flesh. What I'm going to be talking about tonight is probably different from that some of you have heard. Maybe you haven't grown up this way, but there is huge value in learning to meditate in God's word. Meditating in God's word. For those of you, how many of you just said, "Alan, for the most part, for this last month, I prayed that prayer." You did some of that. You don't be embarrassed. I'm not going to call you out. Okay. Maybe you prayed the 23rd Psalm. Anybody jump on the 23rd? I really like that one. 23rd Psalm happens to be my personal favorite. But what happens is what you're doing is you're learning to focus your thoughts. Now, stay with me just for a second. Right now, if you go to work for Google, everybody know Google? You Googled today something. If you work for Google, if you realize it's a bunch of like really smart people. I mean, the IQ at Google is like off the charts. And at Google, they talk about it's one of the most pressure-packed environments. But you got all these smart people and they're very driven. So you know what they've done at Google is they've started holding classes at Google. And one of them, most popular class, is done by a Google employee who has been there since 2000. He's now a multimillionaire because of his investments in Google. Has an IQ of 156, which is like double mine. But it's way off the charts high. And he does a class on Search Your Inner Self. Teaches meditation. Google will actually let, you know, you're a paid employee. You get to go for free. In other words, you're paid while you're in that time. They're not the only ones. Corporate America is doing it. How many of you have ever heard of mindfulness training? That they teach mindfulness. It's become the big, and I'm sure it probably started in, it starts on, you know, usually starts on both coasts and works its way in. I could say a lot about that. I'm just not. I'm going to stay real gracious. And the idea, they said, is they're trying to help people, and they're basically, the roots of it is Buddhism. And it's the idea that I'm going to sit, and they want you to sit in a chair. It's interesting. Or sit cross-legged on a pillow and focus your thoughts on your breathing for 10 minutes. You're conscious of your breath. And they're talking about how this has really helped people and helped people. And as I was listening, it's not just Google. It's, I'm telling you guys, corporate America has jumped all over this. But here's what I was talking with Joy about this. Here's the deal. You're focusing on your breath, and then when your mind wanders, you bring your mind back. You know what they're learning, what they're actually doing? They're learning to control and focus their thoughts. Because they realize there's so many random thoughts going in their heads, and sometimes you're in a high-stress environment, and it seems like thoughts are just pinging at you left and right. So what do you do? You say, Alan, I'm a Christian. I don't know if I want to sit cross-legged on a chair and focus my thoughts on my breath. Good. Because we have something that we can focus our thoughts on. And it's life to us. Because it's spiritual life. And so what happened, I really believe Dr. Rutland just out of necessity stumbled into this, that over and over again, he began to speak the Lord's Prayer over and over again. But what is he doing? My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They're life to those that find them. And so when you're having problems, and he was having problems with thoughts and the negative thoughts, he began to speak those prayers. And then he added the 23rd Psalm. What's he doing? He's beginning to focus thoughts on God's word. Remember we started this series with my son, attend him, with don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. But in his law, he meditates day and night. Meditation. Biblical meditation is not sitting cross-legged on a pillow going, That's what people think meditate, and they associate it with mostly Asian culture. Meditation is biblical, and it's actually to take God's word and begin to ponder it by speaking it and by muttering it. There have been times when it just seems like the darkness would just want to close in on you. If you've ever been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's like, how do we get out of that ditch? How do you pull out of that? And you say, well, how in the world can speaking God's word? Because there's life in it, and because it begins to focus our thoughts. When we begin to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. What kind of images do those bring up? Those are good images. And when you're speaking God's word and you're speaking, what are you doing? You're giving your mind something to focus on other than the negative, the dark, the depressed, the awful. And listen, guys. You say, well, Alan, how do you know so much about this? Because I've been in that black hole. There was a time when depression was too easily would come on me. And I'll tell you something, I hate it. I hate depression. It is not from God. It is straight out of the pit of hell. Because you can't see anything good. You can't see anything good that's going on. You lose it. It can range everywhere from you can't even get out of bed to just this sense of dread that carries around with you. And that is not the plan of God. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. His idea is life. Now, please listen to me, because like I said, I've been there, so I can speak very encouraged. If you have bought off and this is always the way it's going to be, let me inject a different thought. If you belong to the Lord, that's not part of his kingdom. And that's not his will. When you're praying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No depression in heaven, no dark days in heaven, no ugliness in heaven, no despondency in heaven. And I don't care how long it's been in your family, you can break it. Say, well, my grandma was depressed and my mother was depressed. And if you've grown up in that environment, the challenge is we learn to yield to it. For those of you who have been depressed, you know exactly what I'm about to say. You can feel it coming on. So, like, great, I don't know what we do. Glad you asked. This is why I would encourage you. Take a passage. If it's the 23rd Psalm, grab that one. You know, I have one that I really love. It's Psalms 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord, he camps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Amen. Now, say, so you memorized that. Yeah. But I memorized it not by memory. I memorized it by repeating it over and over. There have been times when and listen, guys, don't be embarrassed. Dark times can come to everybody. We live in a dark world. We live in a negative world. We'll one day be in a place where there is no depression, where it's just a whole different place. It's light. It will be wonderful. But we ain't there yet. And because we're not there yet, we have to learn to deal with it. So here's the thing. As you begin to speak, that's what I'm saying. Find a passage or a verse that speaks to you. And just sit down and begin to speak that, and then do it again, and then do it again. Now, here's what your mind will go. We got it. We got it. We've already been over it. No, no. It's life to those that find them, and it's health all the time. Now, here's the thing. The enemy will criticize you for doing that, and yet if you've ever worried or taken a thought, and have you ever just taken a negative thought and gone over it and over it and over it and ever looped it on a negative thought? Rhetorical question. We've all done it. We've all looped a negative thought. Or you just talk to some people sometime. I talk to them, and sometimes I'm praying with people, and they're like, I've got this, and they'll tell me the problem. I'm like, okay, I got it. Let's pray. And then they'll tell it again. I'm like, I got it. They're looping. They just kind of got that loop. I'm going to go, finally, I'm like, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name. Why? I want to stop them from looping, because you go over those negative thoughts over and over and over again. You ever noticed it doesn't bring you out of them? Makes it worse. So instead of doing that, why don't we just take the time to take God's word that's life? You find a verse. You don't have to do Psalms 34, 1 through 10. I like that. But I have actually sat down in my chair and just said it over and over and over and over again. Why? I am injecting life into a negative situation, and it's helped pull me out. Amen. And you know why? Not because I'm a pastor. It's because it's God's word, and it has life in it. And if you'll, but listen, if we're going to think about something, why don't we think about something that helps us? Looks like I'm going to have to hit this a little bit again next week. Can y'all come back? Okay. Help anybody? Okay, good. Let's pray. And since we're short on volunteers, y'all need to get your kids. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Father, I thank you for the freedom that comes in you. Thank you, Father, that you desire that none of your children are burdened down with depression or bipolar or anything along those lines, Father, that absolutely torments their lives and makes it a living hell. That is not your plan. And Father, as their pastor, I pray for all of those who are suffering with that. And I thank you, Father, there is hope, there is help, there is freedom in you. And I give you all the praise for that, Lord. Father, thank you that your word can act like a sword of the Spirit in our life and can pierce and cut and push through the darkness that comes in our lives. Thank you for that. And I pray for everyone who suffers along those lines Father, they don't have to live that way the rest of their lives. Thank you for that. Now, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you came this evening and said, Alan, I am not a believer, I'm not a Christian, I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior, or you're saying, Alan, I have done that, but I really went far away from God, and I know I need to come back. We're going to say a prayer. We're not going to ask you to stand up. We're not going to ask you to come to the front. We're not joining the ark. But if you would like to be a part of this prayer tonight, say, I would like a relationship with the Lord. I need to come back to Him. Would you pray for me? We're going to do that. Would you slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thanks. Thanks for your courage. Thank you. Yeah, on the back. Anybody else? Great. Thank you. Thanks for your courage. It takes guts to do that. You can put your hand down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. That's okay. You can jump right in the middle of this. In fact, we're all going to pray it together. We're going to pray it out loud. You can just join us and pray so you can hear yourself pray. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Thank you for life, for stepping right back into the light. What a blessing it is to walk with you. Thank you for your strength and joy. Bless them as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.